Well, the message I have today is stepping into the new year. It's a new beginning, new year, celebration of what we have, what God has done for us. So this is part one. I've expanded it, so I'll bring you part two next week, maybe. But this one is, what do we have to start? What are your plans for the new year? You know, what are your plans for the new year? Gain weight? No, I mean lose weight. trip, education, go see somebody you haven't seen for years. What are your plans? You know, when I was thinking of this, what one decision will change your life forever? What one decision will change your life forever? Is that one that is in the future, or is that one that is in the past? Now, it just so happens, I was given a Christmas present today, and it says, "Be careful or you will end up in my sermon." So that's from Tracy and Jose. And
I guess I'm not very careful.
Yeah, she's always in a sermon. All right. What I was thinking of even before I got this was the first Sunday that Jose came to church. He was with, they were doing a something for the newspaper, right? And they were doing something for the newspaper. And he came back the next Sunday, or one Sunday after that. And he said we were the only church of all the churches that made him feel welcome. And that one decision to come, to not only to come to church, but to keep coming, changed his life forever. It did, because he became involved, the board, the youth, just became, and then he got married, moved away, and he got married, brought his wife, and brought his in-laws, but one decision, there's lots of people who have made a decision to come to church, but just go down the list of individuals who made the decision to come but then lost heart somewhere along the way, and their life is basically not as good as it should be and could have been. And I think of those individuals, and some of them from time to time, I remember a family that sat over here on the right-hand side. They had two or three kids, and they were young. And they came a couple of Sundays, and then he says, "Well, I don't think this religion is for me." Well, his whole life went the opposite way. The kids, family, everything split, fell apart, and his life was a mess from that point on, and I don't think it ever got straightened out. But the challenge is, we don't often know that what that one decision, it doesn't look like a big thing. Jose was making a decision to be here to take in the service and report it in the newspaper. And that one decision to come back and to keep coming back changed his life, and he's made it into my sermon. So, what's that? Life goal was reached. So, But we see how that sometimes we don't know. The life-changing decision doesn't have flashing lights. Life-changing decision coming up, exit here, It would be nice if it did. We could pick it up and go from there, but it doesn't happen that way. But the first thing that I looked at for this part of the sermon is in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 6. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" So as we look at our life, we can see how, as David looks at it, who am I that you have brought me this far in my life? You've brought me to this place and time in my life. And it's a place where we can see the hand of God, that God has blessed us, guided us, helped us. Now, it's not been problem-free, but it's been grace-filled. We can say with David, O Lord, who am I that you have brought me thus far? And so it's like we've come a long way from where we were to where we're at today. Could we have made better decisions? Possibly. Could we have done things differently? Probably. So the challenge is, what was our thinking when we were saying it and doing it and looking at it? And of course, hindsight is always perfect, you know. We can see all the outcomes of different routes. But you know what? Only God knows what it would have been. And so we have to trust in God's sovereignty, you know. It was Einstein, I believe, he said that if we continue to do things the way you've always done them, it's insanity. Because if you expect a different result by doing the same thing the same way you've always done, it's not going to change. Something has to change. And the change isn't necessarily earth-shattering. It was, you know, coming to check out a church, you know, coming to check out a group of people. So we're not kicking down doors and bursting into buildings. It's just like making a decision and being able to recognize that somewhere down deep, that decision is the best decision for my life at this time. And so those are choices that we make. And, you know, if we continue to find, you know, the other illustration is the guy's walking around the track and there's a hole there and he falls into it. That happens, you fall into it. You go around the track, you fall in the same hole a second time. Okay, I got to remember that. So you go around the track, fall in the third time. Sooner or later, it becomes an IQ test. Are we smart enough to stay out of the hole? And so that's the way it is with choices and changes and challenges. Are we smart enough to see what's happening and what we're doing and where it's leading us? You know, if it's leading us down the same path and we're ending up at the same place, it's something that's in here. We've got to look at our hearts and our minds and our way of looking at things and be able to trust that God will help us make right choices. Now, it doesn't mean we have to say, okay, I'm done with this, I'm going to China, you know. No, it doesn't mean we're just stripping everything away and moving out of the country, because basically we will pack our suitcases and we'll take our same self with us to those new places. You know, we'll be the same person we are here, we will be there, we will be the same person there. So we have to change from the inside out, and it's not a disastrous change, it can just be little things, that we change our outcomes, change our direction. You know, go to church and listen to the preacher and find yourself in a sermon. Then you know you've made it. Right, Bentley? She always waiting for her to smile. What's that? Oh, I thought, okay. But anyhow, she's not responding because she didn't want to find herself in a sermon. So it's all right. So it's all right by me to find yourself in my sermon. So anyhow, trusting in God's sovereignty. See, God has a plan, God has a purpose for everything on the face of the planet. And I like the illustration where the guy, and I've used this a number of times, but I don't put a lot of trust in people who've died and after, you know, look their experiences and so on. But this one individual, he died and he went to heaven and he's before God. And he's having this conversation with God and he's not saying anything, he's just thinking. Then he becomes aware of all the people around him and then all the people on earth and, you know, all these prayers and everything coming to God. And he goes, God, how is it that I can have your undivided attention and all these other people are doing the same thing? And God says, there's enough of me. If everyone who's ever lived at the same time will approach me, I can give to every one of them my undivided attention. So the sovereignty of God is something that is greater than what we can fathom. That even the littlest things, now, there are things that we don't understand why. There are things, you know, sicknesses and death and all that, we don't understand why. But ultimately, when we are in God's hands, we are safe, and nothing can ever separate us from Him. So if I am safe for eternity, then I'm safe in this life. And if I'm safe in this life, then I can make choices about what is right for God, for me, and the direction of my life. I don't need to be afraid of what other people will say or do, because I'm safe in my life for eternity with Christ. He has forgiven me of my sin, and so my name is in His book of life, and should my life end, I'm going to heaven. Now, if that place in my life is safe, then I can go about living life in a secure way, knowing that God will help and guide me. So Jeremiah 29:11, the famous Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You see, God has plans. And I go back over this. While you were yet in your mother's womb, God knew you, He formed you, He put in there everything that you needed. And He didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. So you are who you are by design. Now, we have to learn what this design is and how that we can draw the best or the most out of this person. Because everyone has the same challenge. Everyone has the same difficulty bringing out the best, bringing out, searching for the best, and bringing it to a way of living your life for God, which is going to help build the kingdom of God, would be part of the family of God, that we have a divine destiny, we have a divine program for our life, and everyone, it is not the will of God that anyone should perish. So people who are on their way to hell, God doesn't want them there, but they've made a choice. So in our life, we've made a choice to serve God and to look at the promises He has for us. So when God opens the door, It's up to us to step through it, you know? If He shuts the door, we can't stand there and kick on it and beat on it until we kick it in. And no, it's part of knowing when it's time to step forward, when it's time to step back. And you know, you can't make a decision. It's like if I'm going to turn to the right or to the left, I only have a few feet to make that decision. You know, so now I've got to make the choice. Is it right or is it left? Well, I'm going to go forward. I'm sorry, you can't. Unless you're going to step on the pews and over people, you know. But so our challenges are sometimes very simple, that we don't have to, you know, haul all the pews out of here so I can keep going straight. It's whether I should go left or right. And those are choices that we find whenever we run into the T in the road. You can't turn right or left till you hit the T. And if you turn to the right or the left too soon, you end up in the ditch, just for letting you know that. So God has a plan for you. In entering the new year, it is important that we learn to trust that God has a good and personal plan for your life. God has a good and personal plan for you. And He wants to live that out through you. He doesn't want us to fail. He, you know, a failure is not getting up. A failure is not falling down. A failure is not getting up. Because everyone's going to fall down. So success is getting up one more time and you fall down. So trusting God means that I am always safe in His hands, and that no matter where I am, God is there, and He is sovereign above everything else. So if these things have come to my life, then either I have brought them to my life or God has brought them to my life, and I have to handle them correctly. Number two, walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by faith and not by sight. So we are stepping into the new year with confidence in God's promises. No matter what the challenge is, our life is built on faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is something that we know. It's a substance. You know, the Bible, it's an interesting thing. The Bible says that faith is a substance, okay? It's a substance. This is a substance that I'm holding on to. It's substance. So faith is a substance. Our faith isn't based on air, clouds, whatever. Our faith is as real as the pew you're sitting on. And after an hour, it will get hard. So anyhow, the substance of where you sit is very real. Faith is a very real. We have a very real God. We have a very real Savior. We have a very real home in heaven. And our faith is based upon the substance of these truths. So it's very real. It's tangible. We can build our life on it. We can live in that security, and we can die in that security, because we're part of God's family, and we are always there. Now, in this verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it is preceded by verse 6 and ended by verse 8. It's a very, very profound truth. And before verse 7 is 6, and after verse 7 is 8. Wow, thank you. You know, you're just moved. Both of these speak of being at home in the body. Verse 6, Paul is saying that we are home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Then in verse 8, we are confident that and would prefer to all be at home with the Lord. So he sandwiches verse 7 with being here alive, we are away from God. We live by faith, not by sight. Someday we will be with God forever. So in the middle of being here and being there, we are living by faith, the substance of God's promises. While we are here in our body waiting the time and this present time, we are with God, we are people of faith, and we live by faith. That there is a hope, there is an expectation, there is an understanding about life. Number one, that I am loved, that I am forgiven, and God has a plan for my life, always has, and he will continue to live that out in us as long as we let him. So, we haven't seen heaven. I haven't seen heaven. But we are assured of it being there. Why? Because Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you will be also. So Jesus has told us that there's a heaven, and he's the one who rose from the dead, and he's God come to earth to be with us. So his word is pretty safe. And he didn't come to make it up. He came to reveal it. Number three, renewing your mind. I know some people don't have one. But anyhow, renewing your mind. You have met people that have left their mind at home. If you don't mind, it don't matter. So renewing your mind is Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. So what we are creatures of habit. So what we're being told here by Paul is that you've got to renew your thinking. You can't think the same way you've always done and change. You've got to allow God to renew what's in your head. Renew what's in your heart. He wants to renew, rebuild, redesign, to take the image that he has in store for you and mold it according to his word. See, we will be molded either by the philosophies of this world, or we will be molded by the truths of God's word. And God's word will never pass away. So what we are molded into will never go out of style. It's good for eternity. And so the image of Christ is one of love and forgiveness, of strength, of the ability to go through, see ourselves through difficulties, to look for the good, to see how God is going to work this out to a divine purpose in his life. So do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You will be able to test and prove. You will be able to test and approve what God's will is. So this isn't something you have to you have to take a brainwashing course to grasp it. No, this is the truth of God's word that you will be able to apply to your everyday life and be able to prove that will stand the test of time. It will be able to stand the problems, withstand the problems, and give us hope in the difficult times. So to be conformed to this world refers to an outward expression, an outward living that does not reflect what God is. Now, when Paul was writing to the Romans here, they were in their church, you know, they're believers. But you've got to understand, Rome was a conglomerate of Romans and Jews and Greeks and you know, Hellenistics, and you know, it was a melting pot of all the different empires that the Roman Empire had conquered. And so he brought them all together, and so they were trying to bring all of their cultures into church and into their gathering and trying to make them part of the belief system, because people wanted everybody to believe what they had always believed, you know, bringing it in, and the Romans, and bringing their philosophies in, and the Greeks bringing their philosophies in. Paul says, hey, no, you can't do that. That's not who we are. That's not who Christ is. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world that you have lived in. God has a pattern that he wants you to live. So, the text implies that the readers were allowing this deception to happen in their life. They were thinking that the Greeks had the idea, the Greeks thought they had the idea, the Romans thought they had the idea. Paul says, no. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind because of your relationship with Jesus. These people believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how they were Christians. They believed that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. That was the sole foundational statement of their belief and why they became Christians, is they believed in the resurrection of the dead. And there were people like Paul who were still around, who had seen Jesus risen from the dead. And they heard their testimonies and Paul's testimony and talked about the forgiveness of sin and a new way of life and the things that Christ had taught the disciples. And all of this was being there, transforming them into this new creation. Renewing your mind is this kind of transformation that occurs by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come by... And it's important that we study and read and knowing the doctrines of the Bible, knowing what these things, what they stand for, how we arrive at doctrines and how we arrive at what the Bible is saying. All those things are important. But it's the Holy Spirit, it's God himself who opens our eyes. It's God himself who touches our life. Without God, we're just a social club that believes in a set of standards. You know, you have these 10 laws you abide by. No. Jesus is a very real person. And he loves us, and his forgiveness is very real. And the assurance that he gives to us isn't a mind over matter. It's a heart decision that we know that it's okay. And know that this is the right place to go. So reading the scriptures and meditating and studying on the word, these are the ways that this faith is brought into this person that we are, and being molded into this person, being transformed, being renewed like the potter and the clay, molding the clay. That's what we're doing by the scriptures that we hear and that we read. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. It's chaos. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. Number four. Pursuing growth in our faith. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the concluding of Peter's second letter that he wrote. And it is a summary statement that he leaves with the Christians to whom he writes. They are to be pursuing Christian maturity. They are to pursue to grow in their understanding. You know, we can't just put the brakes on learning. We're going to always be learning and growing and assimilating and bringing things into our life. So we might as well bring the good things into our life. This will lead to a doctrinal stability. We'll know what to believe and what not to believe. We are committed to deepening our relationship with God through the study of His Word, through our faith, through the fellowship of believers. By Susie talks a lot. I couldn't leave that out either. See, you made it to my sermon. You made it to my sermon, all right? Yeah, that's a good thing. Our fellowship together, it's something that bonds us to the body of Christ. It's just who we are. To God be the glory. So each day, no matter where we are in our faith, there's always room to grow. Number five, what better way to open the new year than to appreciate God's blessings? Where we've come from, what He has brought into our life. And God is able, this is 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly. So then in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound to every good work. And God is able to bless you. God is saying that His ability to bless goes beyond human capabilities and goes beyond human availabilities or resources around us. God is able emphasizes that He is sovereign. I like the story where the guy goes to heaven and he's in heaven. This is a story made up. This isn't a guy who died and went to heaven. Okay, this is different. The guy goes to heaven, and when he gets to heaven, he goes to this huge warehouse. And this huge warehouse is all these crates of things stored on these shelves and stuff. And so he's walking through there and seeing names and places and stuff. And he asks St. Peter, "What's all this?" And the guy says, "Well, these are all the things that God wanted to bring into their life, but they would not believe for Him to do so." So you see, it isn't that there isn't enough. God has more than abundant. He has an abundance of things, and they're not always physical things. They are spiritual things. God has an abundance of things, and the God is able emphasizes that He is sovereign. He is able. There is no lack to God's ability or His blessings. And to use God's blessings does not diminish who God is. See, God does not diminish. No matter what He uses, no matter what we receive, God is never diminished. It's always equal or greater than it just continues to grow. God's unmerited favor is His grace. The abundance of blessings isn't just material. It can be peace, wisdom, strength, and joy. And God is able to bless you, and the key word here is, what's the next word? And God is able to bless you. God is able to make all grace abound. 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 Can you all read that? Abound, yes. God is able to bless you abundantly. Abundantly. Abundance that Paul speaks of is not dependent on external circumstances. The abundance of God is, you know, go back to the very beginning, okay? God created the heavens and the earth. God spoke them into existence. So before the creation of the heaven and earth, time did not exist. So God existed in all eternity past. Now, it's hard for us to have that concept, but God existed in eternity past. Creation was the beginning of time. He spoke the world into existence. He created all things. He spoke them, made them by His word, by the word of His power. And if you read to the end of the book of Revelation, that God, at the end, when it's all over, God destroys the heavens and the earth. Time ends. He creates a new heaven and new earth, which is eternity future. So sandwiched in between two eternities is time. And in this place called time, God speaks and moves. And he creates, he loves, he heals, he protects, he strengthens, he guides, he gives us peace, wisdom, understanding. He helps us in this whole concept because he wants to spend an eternity with us. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, he created them for friendship and fellowship. In the cool of the day, God came and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. But sin brought a separation. God, sin, man separated us. Jesus came to take the sin out so that the relationship could exist again. God's desire is to walk with us in our life. Not as some external force, as an internal peace person who lives within our hearts. God is able to bless you abundantly. So there is no limit to what God can do. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound. So he wants us to abound in all of the things that God has for us. And the abundance of God is not so that we can build bigger barns. The abundance of God is so that we can share who we are with other people. And so that the faith that we have could radiate from us to touch the lives of others. You know, we don't have to convince people. We just have to be ourselves with people. God will do the convincing. All believers, we sow into God's work. We experience his abundant provisions so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. What's the key word there? There we go. Hey, we're catching on. What is the key word? All. All things, all times, all that you need, you will abound. What is that? It's enabling us to remain generous with our love and our forgiveness. Abounding in every good work reflects the believer's active role in God's mission. As we look into the new year, it's not simply about 2025. As we look into the new year, it's about the body of Christ. It's about a lost world. It's about an eternal perspective. That no matter what happens in this new year, I'm safe for eternity. And so we find that it's about God living in our hearts and lives in a way that we are able to do the good works of believers, doing the good things of loving, caring, forgiving, strengthening, helping. So the good works believers are bound in continues to reward even into eternity. We live with an eternal perspective. Our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. We belong to Christ, and everything we are and everything we hope to be, we give it all to him. So these are the things that are true to us. These are the things that are God's blessings to us. And all to you, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. That's the challenge of who we are in our relationship with Christ. We surrender it all to you, and that God will direct us and lead us. So, who am I, Lord, that you have brought me thus far? Trusting in God's provision will bring your needs to God in prayer. Live generously, using the resources and gifts that God has given. Our goal, our future, is about God's purpose, recognizing that God is sovereign. We walk by faith and not by sight. Have a spiritual understanding of life that is more than just what we're living. Life is about what we are giving to Christ, and all we've done for Christ will last for an eternity. We have a purpose. God has a plan. God has gifts. God has a way of wanting to pour into our lives abundance, not for bigger barns, but for abundance in serving and loving and caring and giving. Part one of stepping into the new year. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for the blessings that you've brought to our lives. We are conscious of your love for us. We ask, Lord, as we sit in your presence, that you will challenge us to receive you, to receive your gifts, to receive of your love, and that, Lord, you will abide, and that in all things and in all ways and at all times and in all that we need, you will abound towards us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.